Thanks so much. Oh my gosh. Wow, this is incredible. I am so happy, and it is such an honor to be speaking with you guys this afternoon. Also, you guys are just so beautiful, and I am, like, blessed am I among you women. Like, this is, you just, wow. I just really want to open up in prayer because it's the best thing to do before you're speaking, and really, we need all the help we can get, right? So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, teach us how to pray. Lord, I ask that you send your Spirit down upon us during this time. Let our hearts be open. Allow my words to be your words. Help us to discern what our mission is today. Help us to be present and give us the ultimate gift, which is learning how to love you more. And we ask all these things through the intercession of Our Lady as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sweet. All right. Let's get it. Who likes camping? Yeah. Okay. Sweet. Almost everyone, right? I love camping. I actually worked at a camp 2 years ago, and I got to live in a platform tent in the woods for the whole summer, that was really fun and cool and everything until my tent got, like, black mold in it because it was raining and... lots of outdoorsy people there. They love to camp too. They love the outdoors. So on July 4th weekend, we actually had a free weekend. And my friends and I decided that we wanted to go to the Outer Banks to camp. So we go to the Outer Banks and we set up our tents. And it's like right near the beach. Like we can hear the waves crashing. It's awesome. It's just like a beautiful weekend with my friends. My friend Audrey and my Scottish friend Jen. Who's just insane. And we get there on the first day and it's super hot. We set up our tent and our camp and everything and we're like, all right, let's go to the beach. Let's hit the waves. So my friend Audrey goes, hey, like I know a part of the beach that's like really isolated and like really cool and it's more quiet. And like there's a bunch of tourists in the Outer Banks over July 4th weekend. So we wanted to just get away from them, have like a little quiet beach day. So I'm like, yeah, I mean, that sounds good. Jen was like, yeah, that's good. Do you know where we go? And she's like, yeah, let's just take this trail. Let's take this trail here. And I was like, okay, like seems okay. I mean, we could hear the waves. So like, why not? Right. So we continue on this path. We start walking for 5 minutes and then we start walking for 10 minutes and then it's 15 minutes. And I'm like, okay, hold on. Wait. Are you sure, like, we should keep on walking? Because, like, I have, like, a huge cooler in my hands, like, my towel, my sunscreen, and my water bottle, which is, like, already warm by now because it's so hot. And I'm, like, sweating through the shirt that I threw on over my swimsuit already. My sunglasses are sliding off my face because I'm just so sweaty and disgusting. And I'm like, all right, Audrey, hold on. Are you sure we're going the right way? Are you sure we're going the right way? And she's like, yeah, I know, like, it's fine. We just have to keep on walking. Like, where else would we go? Would we cut through the woods? Would we get, like, bitten by a snake? No, we're not going to turn around or cut through the woods. We're just going to keep on going. So we keep on walking, being the smart women that we are. And then we get to this marsh. The part of the trail had flooded into this marsh-like thing, and it went on for a couple yards. And my Scottish friend Jen is like, oh, are there snakes in there? Oh, my gosh. And she's, like, yelling in Scottish, and she's freaking out. And we're like, Jen, shut up. Like, we're going to go through the marsh. And then we're like, all right, who's going to go first? Yeah, exactly. Not I. I was like, Audrey, you got this one, girl. Go for it, champ. And I was so scared because... this marsh water wasn't this clear, like, nice bath water you throw a bath bomb into, right? Like, it's, like, disgusting. It's brown. It's also warm, like, so warm. It's bubbling. There might be snakes in it. Like, who knows what's in that water? And so I, like, take a first step into it, and it's up to my mid-thigh. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. Oh, gosh, no. Okay, I'm going to do it. And then, oh, yeah, these are out. So I was freaking out, and I was like, well, there's no way I'm going to go back. Like, I'm not going to go back with all this heavy stuff in my hands. I'm going to man up, and I'm going to walk across this marsh. And so I start going across this marsh, and my legs are shaking. And I was probably, like, going through the marsh for about, like, 3 minutes. And it doesn't seem like a long time at all. You're like, 3 minutes? Shut up, baby. Like, just do it. But I was terrified because I thought I was going to get eaten by a snake or something. But I continued down this marsh, and then my friend Audrey goes, and then my friend Jen goes, and she's yelling in Scottish again, and she's freaking out. And we're like, shut up, Jen. We eventually make it through, but we smell terrible. I don't know what was in this marsh water, nor do I want to know, but it did not smell good. We eventually see the beach, right? We see, like, umbrellas, and we see the waves crashing, and we're like, oh, my gosh. Lord, thank you so much for delivering us. I praise you. Oh, my gosh. And it was terrible, though, because we got there smelling like doo-doo, and everyone was there at this beach. It wasn't like the secluded part we wanted to get to. It was like these loud music. There were beer cans everywhere. Just like loud, loud music playing. It was just super crowded. We couldn't find a place to sit. And so not only that, but we're just like all, like my nice Teva sandals are just soaked in marsh water. And we get there, not even to our like destination that we wanted to. And I got there smelly and soaked in sweat and marsh water. So why am I telling you this? Why am I telling you about my time of stupidity when I crossed this poopy marsh water? Because I learned a lesson that day. And that lesson was, in order to get where I need to go, I need to have something to follow, right? I need to have a guide. I need a map. And when you're crossing uncharted territory, you can't do it all on your own, and you'll miss what you need to get to. So what does this have to do with what we're talking about this weekend? What does this have to do with today's talk's mission, or talk's topic is mission, because we live out our mission here on earth, and we need a guide to make sure we get to where we're going. We need to know which direction to walk. We need to know what and who we're walking to. And we can't sustain ourselves on this journey. What will sustain us, though, without fail, and infinitely more perfect than anything else, is a relationship with Jesus. And so if we want to respond to this mission that's been set out before us and to respond to that mission well, we need to abide in him that the mission is all for. Because it is him that each and every mission is ordered towards. It's ordered towards the communion with Christ. And so I understand that you guys have been talking about relationship, right? This retreat and identity. And so today, yeah, we're talking about mission. So what's the purpose of this mission, and where does it come from? Like when we say we need to be missionaries for Christ, or like we're fulfilling our mission, we're doing our mission, we're on our mission. The Catechism defines mission as the ultimate purpose of mission as none other than to make men share in the communion between Father and Son in their spirit of love. I'm going to read that one more time. The ultimate purpose of mission is none other than to make men share in the communion between the Father and the Son and their spirit of love. So the whole point is not like how impressive the fruits of your mission are. It's not if you can go to Haiti and build 500 churches for the people there. At the heart of it, the whole purpose of it is love. And it's Jesus' entire mission to bring God's beloved back to him. And he makes this possible through the crucifixion and the resurrection. He makes this possible. And by our baptism, Jesus' mission becomes our mission. John 3:16, arguably one of the most quoted pieces of scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life." For God so loved. He does everything out of love. Love is at the root of our mission, and love is a person. So what we're doing is we're trying to love people. We're loving people back to him who first loved us. And Jesus does this in the most perfect and sacrificial way possible when he's crucified for the sins of humanity, because he loves us more than his own comfort. And we're changed because of this love. And then Jesus leaves us with this assignment before he ascends into heaven. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. And so I just want to share a little bit with you guys about a turning point in my life, a little part of my testimony. When I was a sophomore in high school, I went on a retreat. It was actually almost to this day 6 years ago. And we had adoration. We had prayer teams in front of the monstrance. And I was really new to the whole youth group thing and taking my faith seriously thing. But I took a chance, and I went up to the monstrance, and I got prayed over, and I was staring at Jesus in the Eucharist. And in a moment, everything changed. Nothing else of this world meant anything to me. It changed everything. I wanted nothing else than Jesus, right? And it was that encounter of love that made me turn my whole entire life around. It was that encounter with love himself that is the reason that I'm standing here before you guys today. It wasn't because someone was super eloquent in their preaching. It wasn't because someone went to my school and did like all of these like crazy miracles and like caused me to believe. It was that I encountered love. Love himself. And so that is what it boils down to. So I was loved, and I was stressed out. What I was stressed out about as a sophomore in high school, like popularity and looks and boys and all that stuff. It didn't matter, because in the eyes of God, I was his, and I knew that he was all mine. And so you might be here for a similar reason, right? That you encountered Jesus, and because of that, you're radically changed, and you want to proclaim this, to bring good tidings to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives in the opening of the prison, to those who are bound. But notice how all of this begins. Our entire mission begins with encountering the Lord, and it is sustained only through prayer, which is uniting ourselves to him. And this is not just once a day, but in every single moment. And it's so easy to lose sight of this reality that we have to unite ourselves to him every day. Because, like, look at the world around you. Look at the chaos around you. Like, this is kind of, you know, why we go on retreat, is to escape that chaos and to recenter ourselves. But remember that each and every day that you are on mission, you have to unite yourself to love himself, to make sure that you're on the right trajectory. Because if you start focusing on other things, it becomes not about God anymore. It does not become about love anymore. It becomes about you. It becomes about the things that are stressing you out in life. So just giving like an example, you know, I remember in high school, I was worried about, oh my gosh, I have this chem test and I'm probably going to bomb in like an hour. And then I have lacrosse practice, and coach is going to make us run because we were late to the game like last week. And oh my gosh, there's my crush. Oh my gosh, he's so cute. So it's just like there's so many like distractions. And then that's just in the school day. And then you get home and then you're like, the dishes need to be done. I have to do my homework for English. And my brother's being a real butt right now, and I just can't handle it. Like, we have to constantly recenter ourselves, because this world is chaotic, and it can allow us to lose our inner peace. And so, you know, just as I should have stuck to a map and followed where I needed to go, so do we when we embark on our mission. And so if we're going to bring others to Christ, if that's what we want to do, and if our lives have been radically changed by his love, it must first begin with a relationship with him. So we're not relying on ourselves for our own strength and wisdom, but on him alone. And so, like I said, when we don't, we begin to rely on ourselves. And it's no longer about Jesus, and it's no longer about the relationship with him that's sustaining our mission. We begin to put our worth in our idea of success in the results that we see, or only the results that are impressive to the outside world. So this is one of the first myths that I want to talk about. Regarding mission is the results of fruit, right? So there's this this notion that we can get sometimes, that our mission is only good if we can see the results, and if those results are like so cool and miraculous. Because like we read the lives of the saints. Like I remember going on a pilgrimage to Assisi and listening to these crazy stories about Saint Francis. And then, you know, you hear these crazy, insane stories about Saint Faustina. You hear these insane stories Just pick a saint, any saint, like you, insane stories. And you're like, I want to be like that because those results are crazy. And that's what draws us in, right? But that's not how God operates. He doesn't see the value of our mission and the results or how many people get converted because of what you say to them about Jesus Christ, right? So just an example, back at school, I participate in inner city ministry. So what we do is we hang out with the teens downtown, and these teens really have not had it easy in their lives. They come from a lot of broken families, alcoholism, maybe their dad's in jail, or maybe he's dead, maybe their mom's like addicted to drugs, and just like you name it or you imagine it, you can, it's there, it's present in these teens' lives. And so because of that, what they've really been trained to do is to just shut everyone off and close themselves off, close their hearts, because when they close their hearts, then they're protected, right? They don't have to worry about another person hurting them, another person abandoning them, any of that stuff. So these teens are really, really hard to get through. And they tell the missionaries, and they tell the people that volunteer with Vagabond Missions that when you're in this ministry, you got to be all in, because these kids cannot have another person walk out on them. When you decide to join this mission, you got to show up. You got to show up consistently, and you're not going to see the fruits. And so that was a really hard lesson that I had to learn my first couple months volunteering, because I would show up multiple times a week, put all this time in. It was super demanding, and I was like, wow, Lord, you know, it'd be really, really great if I could just see the fruits of all this hard work. And I remember one afternoon in particular, we were after school at the place where we meet called the Underground, and there was this girl there, and she was new, and so I went up and talked to her. I was like, hey, what's up? Like, my name's Miranda. She's like, hey, my name is, like, I don't even remember what she said. She, like, turned away and just obviously did not want to talk to me, right? And me being the persistent, annoying person that I am, I was like, hey, so how was your day? And she was like, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. Do you do any sports? And she's like, oh, I don't do any sports. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And so I kept on, like, trying to get this girl to like me, because I wanted this girl to like be really excited about the Catholic faith. But when someone is like getting like abused, or if they have been abandoned by their family, like that is the last thing you should be worrying about. You should be worrying about the person in front of you that is hurting and that you can bring love to, and just recognize for a second that it's not all about you, that it is about them, and being present with whatever need is in front of you, right? And so in that moment, that need wasn't for me to be like, let me convert you and let me make you believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and baptize you, right? It was just to listen to her, or just to sit with her and shut up, right? Sometimes, like, you think you have all the answers. Your friend comes up to you distressed, and you're like, okay, I'm going to give you all these answers. I'm a therapist. I watched Dr. Phil before. Like, I got this. No, just listen. And one of the myths is like, yeah, it only matters if the fruit is great, if the harvest is abundant, right? But it doesn't, because the Lord goes after the one out of the 99, right? He leaves the 99, goes after the one, because that one matters to him, right? It's not about numbers. It's not about numbers. It's about love. So we remain on our path to mission when we remain in Christ. And we have to keep our eyes on the prize. And we can learn this from the apostles, right? Because they spent their lives with Christ. And so they were able to stay true to their mission. They were able to identify what it is their mission was, because they walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They traveled with him. They ate meals together. They probably went out on excursions together. They fished together. Like, they did everything together. And when you're doing everything together with Christ, then your mission becomes so clear. And that's how the apostles were able to do what they were doing, because they were united with Christ. It didn't matter about how cool, like, the miracles they were performing were. It was all about him. And so remaining in Christ and uniting ourselves to him, how do we do that? What are we talking about here? We're talking about doing that through prayer. So prayer, I have found to be one of like the most difficult things to define, because I remember in high school, people would always talk about the importance of it. I like remember reading about the lives of the saints and like seeing how long like the saints would pray in the chapel, like before they would give like a sermon or something. And I'm like, I can't do that. Like, what the heck is prayer? Like, why? Count me out. Like, I don't know what they're doing. The definition for prayer that I found that has been so helpful for me is by St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And she says, "For me, prayer is a surge of the heart. It is a simple look toward heaven. It is a cry of recognition and of love, embracing both trial and joy." So it's not this intense, like, locking yourself away in this chapel for like 5 hours. I mean, like, sometimes you need to do that, and like maybe you feel like you just need to cry to Jesus for a little bit, and you do that. But like, Jesus doesn't expect you to lock yourself away in a chapel for like 20 hours out of the 24 hours of the day, and then like recite 50 Hail Marys, and like whenever someone's talking to you being like, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Like, that's not it. It's not this like intense thing that Jesus expects you to do. It's a simple look towards heaven. It's simply acknowledging the presence of God and in that current moment, growing in consciousence of God's presence in each and every moment, right? So like, a way that we can pray always is like, you're walking through the halls and you're really tired and you're like, "Jesus, I'm really tired." Like, that counts as a prayer. You see someone that you like feel like sorry for because you found out that their boyfriend broke up with them last week, and you're like, "Oh, dang, that's a man. I'm sorry, Lord. Just I ask that you help this girl out right now." That's a prayer. If your brother's being super annoying to you and you want to punch him, and you're like, "Lord, you're testing me. Please help me." That's a prayer. If the sun is shining and you're so overcome with the beauty of the world, and you're just in awe, you can say, "Lord, thank you so much for this beauty right now. You are so good. Thank you so much." That's a prayer. So prayer is not limited to the rosary. The rosary is great. Pray it every day. It's great. It's awesome. I'm not saying don't pray the rosary, but it's not limited to these intense things. We think because we think in this like exchange kind of mindset, right? If I pray all of these like things and it takes me so long to pray them, then I'll see like fruits and it'll be great. We can't think like that, because it all goes back to a relationship with Christ. It's growing in consciousness of the presence of God in each and every moment. That was one of the best pieces of advice that I had ever gotten in the confessional, right? This priest was just like, focus on growing in consciousness of the presence of God in each and every moment. Because when you are reminding yourself of, you know, who God is, and the fact that he's in literally everything and he's inseparable from our lives, we can start to like maintain our inner peace. We're no longer like swept up by the chaos of the world and the storms of life, because it's so easy to, guys. And I do it all the time. Like, I'm not sitting here telling you that like this is something that you need to do, and like, I never do it, and I never struggle with it. Like, we all struggle with it. Every single woman in this room struggles with it, because it's life, and it's crazy, and it's messy, and it's chaotic, and it's painful, and it's beautiful, but it's also really freaking hard. It's so hard, right? Yeah, yeah. Don't try to tell me life isn't hard, okay? So trying to do God's will in our lives, and trying to be missionaries for him without steeping ourselves in prayer is like trying to use a vacuum that's not plugged in. So like, imagine you have, what if I like spill like a bunch of goldfish and like, sorry, no offense. Sorry, too soon. I'm so sorry. I saw that and I was like, "Oh, shoot." Or like Cheerios or something. Or like Doritos, I don't know. Any, pick a crunchy snack and throw it on the ground, right? Okay. And then you're like, "Oh, this is really gross. Like, I need to clean this up. Better get a vacuum," right? So I get my what's it? This, no. What's that vacuum brand?
Dyson?
Yeah. Or Dyson? I don't know. I'm getting caught up in vacuum brands right now. That's not the point. Okay, so you need to plug in this vacuum to clean up this mess, right? but you don't plug it in, and you're just like ramming this like heavy vacuum across the carpet, and it's like crushing the Cheerios, and like it's like getting inside the carpet, and it's just like so gross, and you're like, why isn't this working? And you're like so frustrated, and then people start walking over it, and like someone spills like, I don't know, like nail polish on it, or like their feet are like stepping in it, and you're like, why isn't this working? It's so dirty and it's so messy. But because you're not plugged into the source of power, because it's not going to work. So you're just going to make a mess, and then you're going to get frustrated. And I'm so sorry I'm yelling into this mic right now. I'm very passionate right now. We got to remind ourselves where our power comes from. It's like trying to fill up a bucket of water because someone's dying of thirst, and your hose isn't connected to the spout. So you're like waiting there, and you're waiting. You're like, Lord, I'm waiting. Where is the fruit of this? And he's like, you gotta like plug yourself in. You gotta like screw the hose into the spout of like, you gotta, come on, like, let's go. Like, you really think that you like have like the strength of God within you. Okay, that's hilarious. Like plug yourself in. So just a visual for you guys. So yeah, it all comes down to the fact that we can't give what we don't have. So we need to make sure that we're uniting ourselves to him in prayer, growing in consciousness of him, being like trying to figure out, Lord, where are you in this moment? So just to recap, right? We understand what our mission is about. It's about love. It's not about the fruits. Although that's important too, but for the sake of this talk, you know, we want to make sure that we're focused on who we're trying to unite others to. Because he first loved us, because of that like first encounter that we had with him, where we knew it wasn't just about, you know, the commandments of the church, or the commandments that Christ gives us or that God gives us. It's all about love, right? Nothing makes sense without love. We know that we're all called to mission, right? And we know that we need prayer. So what does it practically look like to love others back to him who first loved us? And it means starting right now where you are. When I first had that encounter with Christ at that retreat, and I really wanted to give my life to him, I was like, Lord, send me to Africa, send me to Russia, send me wherever you want. I will be for you and for you alone. And I was just so on fire. I was like, let's do it. Let's get it. And then I went back home. Yeah, you guys know it, the retreat high, you're on like top of the mountain, and you know, it's like the transfiguration, and you're like, Lord, let's just stay up here and make some tents, and just like, yeah, but like you have to get off the mountain. You have to get off the mountain, and you have to figure out what your mission looks like off the mountain. Because it's super easy to be like holy and kind when you have all these like beautiful women around you, and they're for Christ and you're for Christ, and you're like, yes, all one mission, let's go. The body of Christ is so incredible. And then you go into the real world where like some people aren't nice to you or like smile at you all the time. You go into the real world where maybe like some members of your family aren't Catholic. And it's super difficult because they like make these little jabs at you sometimes, and you're like, okay, just gotta roll with it, I guess. And then you, like, maybe some of you guys go to public school, or maybe even private school, any kind of school, and people aren't Catholic, and you're just like, I feel like I'm alone, and I feel like a ninny and a weirdo. But the truth is that our mission is in front of us. Our mission has to do with the circumstances that we are in right now, the people that God has placed in our lives, where he has placed us. And so I remember coming home and being so annoyed with like my brothers and with my mom. I was like, I'm the only one who's taking my faith seriously. Like, you guys don't get it. You guys don't get me. Like, but I love God. But, like, I hate you guys. But I remember I was looking back at my journal, my very first journal that I ever had, and I was looking back at, I wrote, Lord, I really don't like my family. Why did you give me them? Please give me a new family. It was, yeah. I'm just being like, that was the reality of the situation. I was so upset and so angry. And then, you know, God was like, well, you could love them. You like, yeah, exactly. What a thought, right? It's so simple. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, even if they're your brother. seriously, like God was like, you know, I like talked about this. Like we talked about this. And like the when he says to love your neighbor as yourself, right? To pray for those who persecute you, to, you know, not get even with people. He talks to us about this. Honor your mother and father. Do not kill. All that stuff. He tells us about this. And we're like, I didn't hear you. What country do you want me to go for mission? Right? But our mission is here. It's now. And your family and the people that you don't get along with, the people that cause you just to like make your blood boil, those are the people that are your sanctification. I have a lot of ways to go. I have a good distance to go. But holy moly, have I made progress with patience because I decided not to lash out at my younger brother anymore, right? I mean, of course, there's still times when I go home for breaks and I'm like, all right, can't do this, peace out. I'm going to get coffee because my brother's annoying me, right? Like, I still struggle with it. I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but when you recognize what the hand that you've been dealt, when you recognize that the people that are in your life are not like a mistake, where you are in your life is not a mistake, you recognize the immense amount of work that needs to be done in your life. Mother Teresa says that if you want world peace, go home and love your family, right? How many times have we seen, on news headlines, this person does this awful thing, and we're like, how could anyone ever do that? That's awful. That's terrible. And then you learn, like, about their history. You learn about, like, their family background, how, like, maybe their dad was abusive, and maybe their mom was like, just not mentally stable, and they really were abandoned, and then they fell through their own stuff. Like, it is so important to love the people around us because you just never know what they're going through. And if we make it our mission to love our family members, and every family makes it a mission to love the people in their lives, like how transformed would our world look like? How transformed would we be? So that's myth number two, is that, you have to go on this crazy international mission trip to be a missionary. So I just want to speak to that for a little bit because... I'm going to Nicaragua, as Melissa said. I'm going to Nicaragua. Jess is leading LA mission. She's incredible. Love you, Jess. So we get to like go on these missions. We have these opportunities to go on these crazy missions, and it's awesome. And there's like a need for that for sure. But it does not replace the fact that we have an everyday mission that needs to be figured out. We have an everyday mission that requires a response. So it's not, that was good, it's okay, you're good. So it doesn't require, just like 1 week. It requires our whole lives. So it's not as if God put us on this earth. It's not like he took you and you're like, hey, like you're beautiful and unrepeatable and you are just like God's creation. But the only mission that you're gonna fulfill is that I'm gonna send you on a 1 week mission trip to Haiti. And that's it. Like, what the, like, why would God do that? God wouldn't do that. That doesn't make any sense, right? We are these crazy, beautiful, intricate human beings that can communicate God's love for his people back to him. Like, do not reduce the term mission to a 1 week or 2 week or month long experience, because that's not it. Our mission is every single day. It's every single moment. And so one of my favorite saints, or almost to be saint, hopefully, Venerable Fulton Sheen, he said that every moment comes to you pregnant with a divine purpose, time being so precious that God deals it out only second by second. Once it leaves your hands and your power to do with as you please, it plunges into eternity to remain forever what you made it. That was a little long. I'm going to read it one more time. Every moment comes to you pregnant with a divine purpose, time being so precious that God deals it only second by second. Once it leaves your hands and your power to do with as you please, it plunges into eternity to remain forever what you made it. So every moment is an opportunity for you to communicate God's love to others, but also to be in communion with him. So like there are these like small little moments that like when they're gone, they're gone. Like these moments have opportunities in them, and once that moment is passed, that opportunity is gone, right? So if you see someone on the street and you're walking this way, and they're just like sitting there, it's like a homeless person downtown or something, right? Like you have the choice in that moment to like smile at them or just like ignore them and like keep on walking. So that's a decision that you have to make in the moment, right? And so like, when we have this mindset that there is like a special thing that we can do in each moment, then we can live our lives radically. Then our whole lives become this like beautiful, intense, intricate mission, right? It's no longer just this one goal where, oh, we're going to build a bunch of churches at this international site and then that's it, right? Like it's our whole lives. Like God wants our lives to be masterpieces. So pick up the paintbrush. Let's get to work. We have to get to work because if we don't, then the souls will perish, right? There's souls that depend on this beauty. And so God gives us the paintbrushes. We are his hands and his feet in this world. So souls depend on it. So begin today and begin small. So maybe like you don't know what your lifelong mission is, what your vocation is. Am I being called to marriage? Am I being called to religious life? Don't worry about that. Worry about now. Worry about today, because all we are given is today, right? We're not promised 5 years from now. We're not promised 2 weeks from now, right? Begin today, begin small, begin where you are. Ask the Lord, you know, if it's like, I really struggle to hear the Lord. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people do. I'm sure most of you guys do. Like everyone, you know, because God is God and we are, you know, human, and that's how it works. But if you don't know and if you can't identify what it is God wants you to do, just ask him. Ask him. Keep it simple, guys. Ask him and be like, Lord, I can't really like identify what it is that you want me to do. Like, can you just show me? Show me. And he will. And he'll continue to do that. Just continue to ask him. Don't let this be just something that you keep in the back of your mind and you don't revisit later. This is our lifelong mission. It's not a moment that we decide that we're missionaries. By our baptism, we are missionaries. The church is a missionary church. It's not this broken up little assignment in each person's life. It's all of us, all the time. Mission every single day, every single moment. So examples of small things that you can do: loving your family, smiling at someone, doing chores without being asked to. I used to like really struggle with this because I was like, well, that dish isn't mine and it's in the sink. And it was like one of my brothers and they're like so gross and like, but you should clean it up because that's disgusting. Or like that laundry isn't mine. I'm not going to do it. Right. But like what I've learned as I've grown older, as I've grown into a mature, wise adult, is that like when your rooms are clean, when your house is in order, when your apartment doesn't look like six cyclones hit it, like you can like, you feel like you can like think for a second. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I finally know why my mom wanted me to like clean the bathrooms and like pick up my stuff when I like left it there. Because like, it's so nice to have a clean house. And that's as simple as that. And it took me forever to figure that out. Wise young adult. So like pick up that stress for your parents, because like, you know, like you can, we have time to do this stuff. So just like make the decision in the moment. Like, I don't feel like folding this laundry, or like, I don't feel like washing this dish that my idiot brother left in there, but you know what? I'm going to do it anyways, because I care about this person and I love my family, and I'm going to do it, in hopes that that will point them towards Christ. Right. So maybe like it's paying for the next person in line's coffee. Maybe it's thanking God for the little things to do, that you can do throughout the day. Sometimes like I am walking and I'm like, some people can't do the things that I get to do. Like some people like don't have the opportunities that I get to do. And just like thinking in that moment, like we're so blessed, and all of these blessings just kind of like fly under the radar. Just like speak those to the Lord and say thank you. Like thank you for the fact that I can see, because some people can't see. Some people don't know what a Van Gogh painting looks like. Like some people can't hear, and some people don't know what like beautiful like orchestra sounds like, right? Like, we have to remember how blessed we are. And when we do that, that's like a, yeah, it's a small thing that we can do. Does anyone have, like, any ideas? I mean, you can shout them out. Go for it. Small things that you can do throughout the day that it's like missionary or just, like, small little things, small opportunities where you can love God or love others. Like, it can be anything, anything small, anything large. Any ideas? Shout them out. Talk to people. Yeah, talk to people. You ever, like, sit down in class and, like, there's this girl next to you or this guy next to you you just, like, straight up don't talk to? It is the weirdest thing. Oh, you're shaking your head. You're like, no. Okay. Or, like, maybe, I mean, it could go for anything, right? Like, maybe you're, like, sitting in next to someone in the line for, like, the grocery store and you're like, we're right next to each other and, like, no one else is talking and, like, it's so silent in here. Like, why am I a human being next to another human being not speaking? It is so weird. I need to say something. So, like, be a human being and remind yourself who you are and remind yourself who they are and say hi or just smile to them. Yes, talking to people, yeah. Yes, that is so important. And I know that everyone talks about it all the time, how, like, technology is the worst and we need to throw our phones in the river and the government is tracking us at every moment. Like, but it's like, it's so true because, like, when we're looking at something in our hands, like, we're not present to what's around us. And God is always speaking to us. It's just that we're not listening or paying attention. So just, like, remember that. I'm not saying technology is bad. It has a time and a place, of course. But just remember, like, your phone should not take the place of a human being right in front of you. Anyone else have any ideas? Yeah.
It kind of feels like just with the talking, but I
yeah.
noticed, like, whenever someone gives me a compliment, it, like, brightens my day so much. So I like to, like, do that for other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
So, like, even, like, oh, I like your talk, and I think it just brings a lot of joy to people.
It does, yeah. If you see something beautiful in someone, speak it. Say, like, oh, my gosh, you have a really, like, beautiful smile. Oh, my gosh, you really listened well to that other person today, and I'm, like, so proud of you. Or, you know, there's just, like, there's different things. If you see something good in someone, speak it. If you see something beautiful in someone, speak it. Because it reminds them of their dignity, of their beauty, and that they're not just another person, another body roaming this earth. Yeah. Yeah, silent prayer for people. Absolutely. That is a great tip. Because it's, you know, like, people can't control if you pray for them or not. You know, it's kind of sneaky. I remember one of my youth ministers saying that she was dealing with this one teen, and she was like, Karen, I don't want you to pray for me. Don't pray for me. And Karen was like, I'm going to pray for you. Can't control that. Sorry. She ended up, I think she ended up joining the church later on. Praise God. But yeah, like, yeah, just, like, intercede for people. If you see, like, if you hear a girl crying in the bathroom, pray for her. If you pass an ambulance, pray for whoever's involved in that. Like, you can really pray for anyone and everyone. If your heart's moved, like, sometimes, like, when I'm from DC, so I'm like, whenever I go down there, I always see, you know, I always see, like, a lot of homeless folk, and it's just, like, I'm, like, so overwhelmed by it, and I'm, like, Lord, like, my heart, like, hurts right now, like, take it, like, please bless them, like, please, you know, and then just praying for them in that moment, like, if your heart's moved, pray. Anyone have any other suggestions? Sweet, guys, that was awesome. It's, like, not this dramatic, abstract thing, but it's here, it's now, it's present. And sometimes it's really, really hard. So I love this St. Teresa of Calcutta. I was about to say tweet. I don't know why. St. Teresa of Calcutta quote. And she says, stay where you are. Find your own Calcutta. Find the sick, the suffering, and the lonely right where you are, in your own homes and in your own families, in your workplaces and in your schools. You can find Calcutta all over the world if you have the eyes to see. Everywhere, wherever you go, you find people who are unwanted, unloved, uncared for, just rejected by society, completely forgotten, completely left alone. And I think the part of that quote that I really liked is that you can find Calcutta all over the world if you have the eyes to see. But we will only have the eyes to see if we're looking. And if we have that that sight that Christ can give us. And this is why we need prayer, because we can forget, we get selfish, we make it about us. But when our minds are pointed towards heaven, our eyes on Jesus, we are able to focus on this mission. And it's so hard, and we'll fail every single day. But every moment that God gives us is another chance. It's another moment impregnated with divine purpose. And no other person can do the mission that you can. The circumstances that you have now can be responded to in love. And that's what makes our missions unique. So it's not, don't look at the girl next to you and be like, well, what's her mission? That's none of your business. You can, like look at yourself. Look at yourself, because you are beautiful and unrepeatable. Look at yourself and reflect, what has God planned for my life? What has God, what does God want to say to me now, today? Comparison is truly the thief of joy. Like, don't, oh my gosh, it is like, please. Like, I just remember in high school always comparing myself to girls. I'd be like, oh, well, she got varsity lacrosse and like her freshman year. And like, I'm a freshman and I didn't get it. And like, that means that I'm the worst. That sounds ridiculous saying it out loud. Like, I have gifts to contribute. She has gifts to contribute. And I'm going to rejoice, because all of that is giving glory to God. If you see a beautiful girl, like, walk past you, or a really attractive boy walk past you, say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your beauty. Right? Like, stop this. It's not like this competition. It's like celebrating, like, oh my gosh, we have all of these beautiful, great gifts. And you are unrepeatable, so start acting like it. Take ownership of who you are, right? This isn't this like pageant where we like try to like compete for other people's approval, right? It's living out the woman that you were created to be. So don't compare yourself. Stop it. And if you see yourself comparing, if you notice yourself comparing yourself to other women, be gentle with yourself, but just remind yourself of like who you are, and ask God, call out to him. Another way that we can practice that continual prayer, that continual uniting ourselves to him, is saying, Lord, you know, I'm struggling with comparing myself to this girl right now. Like, please help me in this. Help me to recognize, you know, the gifts that I have. Show me what you want me to see. Give me your eyes, Lord. Give me your eyes. So creepy. Mother Angelica said, let us not be confused by the talents and missions of other saints. Let us be the saints that we were created to be. The saints that we were created to be. And so our mission is love. Remain in Christ through prayer. And this prayer is what will sustain our everyday mission. We don't become saints by a couple of impressive things we manage to do, but showing up every single day, choosing to show up every single day as the imperfect messes that we are, and standing before God and saying, here I am, send me. I am ready to go. I may look like I have rats that wrestled in my hair all night. My hair is a mess and it's disgusting. I may look like I just walked out of the crypt and I just look terrible. Or, you know, like maybe I just had a fight with my mom and I just feel like the lowest that I've ever felt. Or maybe, you know, the people in your life are failing you and your family's broken, and welcome to the club. But like, you know, like there's all of this brokenness inside of us, but the Lord wants to heal that and to allow ourselves to be these wounded healers as well. And so we can only do that if we stand in front of him and if we show up. It doesn't matter if you're perfect, because none of us are. None of us are. And you will never be until you get to heaven. Thank God. But just remember, you know, it's all about showing up. Just show up and say, here I am, Lord. Send me. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do this. And so I'm going to end with another quote from St. Teresa of Calcutta. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not yet come. We have only today. Let us begin. So we're going to end in prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much for each and every individual mission that we have. Thank you for each and every one of these women. Thank you for this retreat, for this space that you've allowed us to have, to come together and to reflect on your love for us. Give us missionary hearts, Lord. Help us to bind ourselves to you each and every single day. We are prone to wander. We're prone to leave you. Please keep us by your side always and allow us to grow in consciousness of you in each and every single moment. Help us to make the most of our time. Help us to give it all to you, Lord, all for you, all for love of you. Help us to be the women that you created us to be. All glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. St. Teresa of Calcutta, pray for us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You guys are so, so beautiful, so great. You guys, thank you so much. Yeah, so we actually have, do we still have time for questions? Or okay, sweet, yeah. So if you guys have any questions about mission or about college or about the faith, yeah, like just think for a second and yeah, I'll be answering questions for you guys so you guys can, yeah, just think about, yeah, yeah. What's your name?
Oh, my name's Anna.
Hi, Anna. Miranda.
Oh, Miranda.
That's okay, you're close, you're close. Yeah. Yeah.
Could you just share with us like one really amazing?
Yes, 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 yes. So, even though inner city ministry is very, very hard, there's still such beautiful fruits when we do see them. And in my past couple years, I've seen about 4 kids get baptized. And it's all due to, yeah, like showing up and those missionaries that are at Vagabond just showing up and loving these kids. Even you know, in the lowest places, just meeting them where they are. And so, yes, we've had fruits. Sorry. I thank you for allowing me to speak to that because I did want to speak to that, you know. We had about four teens last spring get baptized, confirmed, and then first Holy Communion. So, yeah, God's good. God's good. All the time. Oh, you guys. any other questions about mission, about living out your faith? Yeah.
Do you get asked a lot how to spell your last name?
I do, yeah. Stawazik, that's how you pronounce it. It looks nothing like that. It's Polish. Yeah, yeah. That was like my campaign for like 6th grade president, student class president. I like have a wow in my name, so I'll be like, Miranda Stawazik, she'll wow you. Vote for me. yeah, I do, yeah. Questions, yeah.
So when it comes to, like, loving your family, like, you kind of spoke to, like, what do you do in the moments that, like, literally everyone is just coming in and you want to, like, explode?
Yeah, yeah, so... Sometimes you won't be successful, okay? So I'm going to start out by saying that. So, like, just accept the fact that you're, like, human and everything. But also, God gave us free will. So let's talk about that. Yeah, so there's definitely those moments where I want to explode, too. I remember, like, one time I came back from a retreat, and I was, like I was crying at my kitchen table. I was like, Mom, I didn't know God, like, really existed before, but, like, I know that he exists now, and, like, it's so incredible, and I was, like, so moved, like, having this experience, and I thought, like, my mom and my brothers would be so supportive, and they were, like, making fun of me. I was like, all right, let's go. But, yeah, I wanted, in that moment, I just wanted to explode. So here's what I recommend doing. Just tune, like, in that moment, like, recognize, just, like, be in tune with yourself and be like, okay, all right, I recognize that I am, like, frustrated right now. I recognize that, like, these emotions are in me right now. And just, like, try as best as you can in that moment, like, for that, like, half second or those 3 seconds, like, tune them out and just be like, come, Lord Jesus. Like, in your head, say, come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. And just, like, imagine Jesus' face, like, in your head, or imagine him, like, holding your hand. Because, like, when you grow in that, like, consciousness of his presence, it helps you to realize, like, you're not by yourself. Like, it's not like these people are, you know, like, closing in on you. And just, like, I think it's better it's so tempting to be like, I'm going to outsmart this person, or I'm going to like really say something to this person that's going to like really make them sorry or really make them look stupid, or like my logic's going to like counteract theirs and it's going to be great. Don't try that. Like, don't try like countering that. Just like, seriously, just shut up. Shut up and stay quiet, and just like, it's the hardest thing in the world because I'm so prideful, and with my family, like if they're being mean to me, then I'm like, yeah. Yeah. So, but like, yeah, just shut up, like tune them out and just be like, come Lord Jesus. You don't have to close your eyes and be like, come Lord Jesus out loud. And they're like, what's going on? Just like, just calm down. Like, don't say anything and just like, just sit there and nod. Because, like, that's what Jesus did, you know, on the way to Calvary, right? Like, there were people spitting in his face, and he was, like, unjustly, like, condemned to death and made to carry his cross. But he didn't say anything to them, right? Instead, he was like, Lord, forgive them. And that's another thing you can do. But like I said before, like, it gets hard. Like, don't think just because, like, you know this one piece of advice that you can go home and do it, like, perfectly. Like, maybe you can, and that's awesome. Praise God. But a lot of times it takes work. Like, it's like a muscle. Like, you have to work it. You have to practice it. But, like, yeah, call on help, because you can't do it on your own. But that's an awesome question. That's an awesome question. I'm glad you asked it. Any other questions? Sweet. Any comments, quarrels, quips, funny stories? Yeah. Oh, thanks. Oh my God. I know. I was reading a tweet like that the other day. It was like, why do I look like Thomas Jefferson with a low pony? And I was like, yeah, why? But then you said that. And, gosh, wow. Thank you so much. Yeah. I have Jesus and I have Mary.
Okay.
Who has anyone have saints they want to flex? Any miraculous medals? What do you have?
JP's here and St. Philomena.
Oh, pray for us. Yeah, those are good ones. Any other questions? Yeah. I have two brothers. Yeah, no sisters, you guys, no help. Yeah.
And when I do walk down there, I do see probably the homeless and that. And unfortunately, I from time to time, I'm like, I'm by myself, and it's daytime, but you're mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, if I look at them, does that mean that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you want to smile, and you want to, you know, you want to give them, because your heart is breaking.
Yeah.
What's going on with this person? But, mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, sometimes like it really depends on the situation in the moment, because like sometimes I'll pass like someone and I'm like, I don't feel like safe, like I don't, and you just like, just listen to that, like that is like your gut feeling for a reason, like listen to that, be safe, be smart, be prudent in that. But yeah, I think I can't remember where I heard it from, but I heard that like one of the biggest things that people that are homeless like miss is just like someone like making eye contact with them and like recognizing that they're a person. Because I think, you know, it's like, oh, if I make eye contact with that person will think like I'm going to give them money or like whatever. And then they're going to expect something of me. Toss that fear aside as much as you can. And just like recognize that this person is a person. But yeah, there's definitely moments where you're just, you know, you're like, ah, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know if I feel safe and listen to that. Like, of course. But yeah, definitely like try to do it, you know, start off with just like one time doing it. And then like, you'll eventually get more comfortable with it and it'll be okay. I promise. yeah. Does anyone have any? Yeah.
For you, you shared the results in terms of numbers. The results of your ministry, but can you share also the results in terms of like how those that you minister opened up to you, like, you know, because you said they're more like closed, like.
Yeah. So just speaking to like what I've seen and like the, yeah. So there's there is fruit in your mission. We just want to make sure that, you know, we're not like basing our like foundation and our identity off of like the success of it and off of the numbers. But So Jess and I actually have participated in like this retreat ministry we run out of Franciscan called Scent Ministries. And the cool thing is that it's a seed planting ministry. So we go to these like schools and these churches that we've never been to before. We give them a retreat and then we leave. And we're not like allowed to keep contact with them for like child protective purposes and like the law and stuff. So just like to keep the kids protected. But what we do here, we sometimes get updates from there, like youth ministers. And sometimes, okay, this is the coolest thing ever, is that sometimes like I'll see them as freshmen. Like I'll like the next year, like after that Scent retreat, like I'll see them walking around campus and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I remember you. Like I did a retreat for you. Like this is so insane. So we do get updates from the people that we do retreats for. And it's also too, like sometimes I get to see it on the retreats, which is crazy. Sometimes these girls are sitting in front of me and we're talking about these things like we're talking about today, like relationship, identity, like what do you place your worth in, all this stuff. And when some people are given the space to speak to things that are wounds, or are given the space to speak about things that people have not allowed to speak or have not allowed them to speak of before, they really open up. And when they understand that you care for them and when you love them and when it's not about like converting them, I've had like girls like break down before me and like just like sobbing and being like, I need Jesus. Like I recognize that I need Jesus. It's so beautiful. It really is so beautiful. Just to see like the person open up before you. But does that answer your question? Like we definitely, we do see fruit. We do see fruit. And when we do, man, it's sweet. Yeah. Does anyone have any other questions? Yeah.
So I've always been told to not have my experience with this. I've always been told not to give homeless people money.
Yeah.
But from where I'm from Charlotte, I see there's a lot of homeless people in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
So I know like you're not supposed to give the money, but if you don't have anything else, is that smart or should you just not do anything and just say?
Yeah, so I actually got to go on a Chicago mission last year, and the missionaries that we worked with told us to not give money to any of the homeless people because they said that that they'll like use it to buy like drugs or alcohol or you know whatever. And so sometimes like if you really don't like know or like feel comfortable, like sometimes like I will give a dollar just if that's like what I feel like you know like doing. But if you don't like have any cash on you or if you feel unsafe, like it is okay like to keep walking, like say a prayer for that person for sure. Something that we did in high school was we would go to downtown Georgetown and we would just buy homeless people food. And we would either like take them out to Red Robin or we would like buy them Subway and just sit with them and talk with them for a little bit so that you know like where your money, that it's going towards like feeding them. And you're also, not only are you giving them this thing, you're also, like, giving them yourself because you're, like, talking to them. Yeah.
Okay, so in bigger cities, mm-hmm. what I learned is, like, there are so many places that they can get food. Like, there are so many. Sometimes they go to church or they can eat at, like, the community center. What I would do is, like, take them to church. Like, ask them, do you want to come with me? Because they don't go to church for church. They go to church for food. Because, like, I was living in Tennessee because I was acting like an idiot child. And, no, seriously, though. Like, I went to college, and then I dropped out, and I didn't want to go home because I was embarrassed. So I went to Tennessee, and I just drove until I ran out of gas. And I ended up being homeless there. And a lot of the things that, hurt them is like the fact that nobody wants to be around them because I think people feel like it's like easily spread like a disease almost, but like they just want people to talk to them and like listen to them and like you said look them in the eye because they aren't a disease, they're just people who have had a rough time. A lot of it is just people who
are in a cycle, like their parents were homeless, so they're going to stay homeless, so their children are going to be homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are generations of them there, and it's like so sad. And the people that were taking care of us were like, they were really like rude because they weren't Christian. They were just doing it because that's their job. They get paid to do it, so they're just going to pretend like we aren't there. And it's just horrible. And like they're all just so sad because they can't do anything about it. Like they can go get money to go like get a house for a month, but after that you got to do it on your own, and they have never had the chance to be able to learn how to. It's crazy. They just want somebody to talk to. That's it.
Yeah. What's your name?
Oh, I'm Catalina.
Catalina, thank you so much for that. That's so helpful. Seriously, thank you. Yeah, what she said. What she said. Any more questions? Yeah, invite them. Invite them to go to church with you. Like, yeah, it's not only meeting their material need, but also meeting their spiritual need as well. So, yeah, thanks, Catalina. Thank you. All right, sweet. Well, if you have any questions, I'm going to be hanging out for a little bit after this. So, let me know if... or just if you want to chat and talk, just come up to me. I love talking to people. So, thank you so much, you guys. Seriously, thank you.